Good morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Mark's. I'm so glad you could join us on this gorgeous day. Today we're going to be reflecting what it means to be connected to the true vine. Of course, that is Jesus. And so we'll be listening to that later on. But as you stand, as we begin our service, as we always do, remembering whose we are, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for being here for us this morning, Lord, that you are in this place, that you are here waiting for us and anticipating our coming so that you can give us this forgiveness of sins, this strength, this life, this salvation, Lord, that we need so badly. Lord, I pray that you would just send your Holy Spirit to work in each and every one of our hearts today. Help us to be open to hearing your word, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would draw us ever closer to you. All this we pray in your name. Amen. My friends, our Father is waiting for us, and he has for us the forgiveness of sins. So let us now confess our sins and receive that absolution. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we plead that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, let us now return praise and thanksgiving to this God who has loved us so much.
I need Good morning. My name is Josh Landgraf. I'm one of your elders here at St. Mark's, and the passage for today is from Acts 8, 26 through 40. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone on to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord.
The sermon text for today is John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you may go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love one another." This is God's word for us today. It is now time for the children's message. So kids, if you guys would come forward at this time, Mr. Lewis Johnson has the children's message for you today.
All right. Good morning. And we're going to do this a little different. I'm going to kneel because it's kind of hard for me to sit down there and then try to get back up because it's a long way down. How's everybody today? Are you laughing at me because it's a long way down? That I'm old? Thank you very much, Connie. And I'm tall. Thank you. Well, I don't know if you guys were listening and they were talking about vines and bearing fruit. And I was kind of thinking about what would I talk about this week. And so I thought, you know, what does it mean to be fruitful? And the first thing that popped in my mind, I don't know if you've ever been to like apple orchards like Eckerd's and other places and you can pick apples. So that's an example of a healthy tree or fruit or vine that produces fruit. Here's another one for those who like to, grapes. So you can make, for those who like to drink wine, or you make them into grape jelly jam, exactly. But then in this reading, it talked about not bearing fruit. It's like, well, what does that look like if we don't bear fruit? Yeah, that's not a good-looking apple tree, is it? Yeah, not bearing much fruit. Same thing, not bearing a lot of grapes there. So then I thought about, well, what does that mean for us? So I don't know how many people, if you look at the cross right behind me, and I actually have the exact same, it's a miniature cross. It'd be kind of hard if I could have this big cross in my pocket, but I have this in my house. I don't know if you ever take time to read what the words are. So it says, therefore, you are mine, love as I have loved you, forgive because I have forgiven you, make disciples of all nations, go, baptize, teach, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, do good to all, serve with joy, give thanks always, do not store up treasures on earth, be united in love. So I thought about, well, what is bearing fruit, or what does that look like for us to bear fruit, and how do we stay connected to God? And one of the things, for those of you, if you can read, maybe you have a little story Bible like this, or if you can't read, maybe your parents or your grandparents read to you, yeah, or you maybe come to school here, or grandparents, but there's lots of ways that we can stay connected to God. And then, so what does it look like when we bear fruit? So bearing fruit, we help people. Could be simple, just like helping someone who maybe needs help getting out of a car, maybe they have some type of disability or something, they can't do something, you can help them. Yep, get the door for someone if their hands are full, or someone who's maybe just in need of just some compassion. Maybe something happened at school and you can comfort a classmate or a friend, or someone has fallen down and now you can just help them up. Or maybe you can help out with chores at home. That's a way that that fruit that you're bearing, that God is in you, and you're helping your parents. Or maybe it's just something you're helping to make a meal, or you're making a cake or something. But there's lots of things that you can do because the Holy Spirit is in you. And after service, we see over here there's some banners. There's going to be kids being baptized. Just like all of you were baptized, and now you have that Spirit in you, and you have to nurture that. So always think about ways that you can be fruitful, showing that love that Christ has shown us to others. Okay? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for planting the seed of fruit in our lives. Help it to grow, and that we can share that love with others. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, thank you very much for coming up. And now it's time for a little worship, and it's right straight in the back. So for those 4 years old, the fourth grade, we have a special message just for you.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text begins. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. There's a lot of different times in John's gospel where Jesus is recorded as saying, I am statements. You have, last week was, I am the good shepherd, and earlier on in that passage from John 10, you know, Jesus says, I am a sheep gate. I am the sheep gate. But here it's interesting, there's the adjective true, which might bear the question, well, what is Jesus needing to say true vine for, as opposed to just saying, I am the vine? Maybe that's something you wonder, maybe you're not, but regardless, there are other times where, with respect to God the Father, there's another entity that's referred to as the vine. And this is, of course, the people of Israel. And so from Psalm 80, verses 8 and 9, you brought out a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. Or from Isaiah 5, let me sing for my beloved a love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it, cleared it of stones, planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. The vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold, an outcry. From Jeremiah 2, yet I planted you a choice vine, holy of pure seed. How then have you turned degenerate and become a wild vine? From Hosea 10, Israel is a luxuriant vine and it yields its fruit. The more his fruit increased, the more altars he built. As his country improved, he improved his pillars. Their heart is false. Now they must bear their guilt. The Lord will break down their altars and destroy their pillars. And in every instance where Israel, God's chosen people, is referred to as a vine, it's always actually done in the sense of a negative. In other words, they did not bear the fruit that they ought to have. Now, even the first one, the Psalm, where it talks about how God brought a vine out of Egypt and cleared the ground for it. It says, why then, God, have you broken down its walls so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit? The boar from the forest ravages it, and all move the field freed from it. Turn again, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and see. Have regard for this vine, the stock that your right hand planted, for the son whom you made strong for yourself. They have burned it with fire, they have cut it down. May they perish at the rebuke of your face. But let your hand be on the man of your right hand, the son of man, whom you have made strong for yourself, that we shall not turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. In other words, even in the psalm, there's a recognition by the psalmist that Israel was the one at fault, and because of their faults, because of their not being faithful to their covenant with their God, he allowed them to experience negative things, ultimately leading to the exile in Babylon. And so in every instance where Israel is referred to as a vine, it's an acknowledgement of how they have failed. How God called them to be faithful, how God promised to protect them, to provide for them, to be with them. And in a covenant that he made with them said, you are to be my people, you shall worship me alone. You're to love your God and love your neighbor. And they abandoned that. Instead, they went and worshiped false gods, thinking that that was the way that would prosper them. Or as the one reading that I said alluded to, they perverted justice. They didn't care about righteousness. And this was a problem. But Jesus says, I am the true vine. I am the vine that was brought forth that does the will of God the Father, that doesn't go this way or that way seeking after other gods or following into temptations, but rather does what was intended. And part of what was intended from the onset, you have the people have been brought out of Egypt and they are there at the foot of Mount Sinai, and before they even receive the commandments, before they make a covenant with their God, God says, I have brought you out that you might be a nation of priests. Even all the way back to the calling of Abraham, God said, I am selecting you, choosing you, that through you and through your descendants, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And part of that is by this family, this chosen people, Israel, all the people of the earth might know the true God. And so we see the fullness of what Jesus is claiming when he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, He it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Now, verse 5, I believe, or at least somewhere in there, was our theme verse for the school this year. And I would be remiss if I did not take this awesome opportunity to share with you something from the school. It goes like this. Jesus is the vine, I am a branch. Break away from Jesus, there's no chance. I am a branch, Jesus is the vine, I will stay connected all the time. And this is something that actually most of the chapels this year have began with, that focus, that emphasis on how important it is to stay connected to Christ, to abide in Christ, to remain in Christ. And so also thinking about the school, I wanted to try something different since I've been here. At least I haven't employed this in part of my preaching. Something I like to do when I do a chapel for the school is I poll the students. I ask a question to see what their responses are. So my question first is, who's bolder than a grade schooler? Anybody feeling confident enough to speak out loud in front of this group of people? But secondarily, the question I'd like feedback on, response on, is how do we stay connected to Christ? How do we abide in the true vine, as we're called to do? Anybody bold enough to raise their hand? And way in the back. Wait, no, you're a student of the school. No, I want to hear from adults. That's great. No, you were asked this question at chapel this week. So no, but thank you. I appreciate the boldness. Yeah. Stay in the Word. Good. Stay in the Word of God, the Bible, other forms of the Word of God. Yes, other thoughts. How do we remain in the vine, abide in the vine, stay connected? Somebody's pointing that way up there. Whoa, way up there. Yeah.
Using your talents to serve the Lord.
Using your talents to serve the Lord. She's jumping ahead where I want to go, but we're not there yet, but good. other thoughts. How do we stay connected to Christ? Let's see. Yeah.
Prayers.
Good. You're a grade school student, too. I'm not put your hand down. No, but actually, I'm glad to see the boldness of our students saying, I know the answer to this. Anything else? Any other ways of staying connected to Christ? Yeah. Being around others who believe what you believe or believe are part of the body of Christ. Good. Yeah. Memorizing his word. Good. Keeping his commandments. That's what the text said, actually. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Communion with the saints.
Yeah.
All right. Surprise. The first answer I expected was like coming to worship. Nobody wanted to say that one, but that's okay. No, those are all good answers. But it's something where a lot of what was said, not all of what was said, but a lot of what was said, you know, as we're thinking about these things, you know, coming in worship and praying, being in his word, I agree entirely. That is, you know, how do we stay connected to Christ? As I was reflecting upon my message for today, I was remembering a time where I taught confirmation students as a DCE a little bit, and then as a pastor in my last congregation. And something I like to ask the students to take home and ask their parents was a question of how do you, man, the question just lost me. That's fun. Bear with me. Loading, buffering, hold on. Man, my wife is good. Thank you. How do you live out your faith? That's why you always talk with your sermons with your wife if you are blessed with one beforehand. Thanks. How do you live out your faith? That's something I always ask my students to ask their parents. How do you live out your faith? And no knock to them. What I usually got as a response is, well, we go to church regularly. We say prayers at mealtimes, maybe prayers at bedtimes. And that was kind of the general response. What I was realizing, what I'm trying to emphasize here, is what I was asking when I said, how do you live out your faith? What I was asking for of my students is, what is the fruit that is born from you being connected to Christ? But the responses that I got was often more, how do you stay connected to the Word? And I didn't realize this disconnect until I was preparing for my sermon today. But it's something where I feel like in many ways, as we think about what it means to be a follower of Christ, we have a good concept of what it means to stay connected. But at the same time, then we often might leave it there as then the expression of our faith, the expression of our faith being the fruit that is born. And we don't recognize, perhaps, in our lives how it is that we do bear fruit. Whether we don't acknowledge it, we don't see it for what it is, and as well, then perhaps we're kind of limited in our thinking as to what that aspect looks like. Let me give you another example. So our other reading for today, here it is. It was earlier on in Acts chapter 2 that God gave the Holy Spirit to his apostles. And they're going out, and by following what the Holy Spirit is prompting them, leading them to do, they're doing wondrous and amazing things. And numerous people are coming to be followers of the way, followers of Jesus. And so it is that you have Philip, who is one of the disciples who walked with Jesus. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Arise, go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And now the passage of Scripture was from Isaiah 53. "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, like a lamb before its shearers is silent. So he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I asked, does the prophet say this? About himself or someone else?" And then Philip opened his mouth and began with this scripture. He told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down to the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. I think sometimes we read about how it is that the Holy Spirit guided the disciples in the early church, and we think, man, that's awesome. That's so cool that they did that. And we just are left with an awe. And at the same time, when we think, well, how is it the Holy Spirit guides us in our life? There's a disconnect, perhaps. Oh, that's cool that the Holy Spirit did that in the past, but surely he doesn't do that now. And we might not even get to that thought. We just are in awe of what happened in the past. As I was meditating on this, I was reminded of an experience that I had. When I was studying at Concordia Chicago to be a DCE, there was always every Sunday night a service of prayer and praise. Lots of praise songs and then kind of a time of prayer. Could be individual, could be a group. And then you kind of come back for a couple of praise songs. And so it was my habit typically to go and pray with a certain group. And yet I just suddenly felt like, you know, I think I'm going to pray by myself. I don't know why. You guys go ahead. And as I was sitting there in the pew praying, I felt restless. And I was like, okay, I need to go walk. I don't know why. I just need to go for a walk. And I go out and I'm walking around outside, just kind of praying to God, talking to him. And all of a sudden I see a friend who is pacing, Like, he is clearly has something on his mind. He's just like, I've never seen someone pray like that before. So I'm just like, hey, Luke, what's going on? Are you okay? He's like, yeah. And he shares with me how he came to Concordia fully intent on serving as a teacher, which is great. But he said he had this experience over winter break where he was helping out with youth ministry stuff. And he's like, I don't really know what that means. I'm not really feeling like I should go be a pastor, who I normally equate with doing youth ministry stuff. But, you know, I don't know, like, being a teacher sounds awesome too. And so I got to share with him about DCE ministry, which he had never heard of before. And he still serves as a DCE to this day. And I point to this mostly to say I fully believe that at that moment, God used me in a profound way, guided me by his Spirit to do something that otherwise I would not have done on my own. It's not like I inherently knew, ooh, someone needs to go hear a message from me. Let me go. And I would be remiss, though, if what I left you with was just, oh, it's so cool how God uses people who go into the ministry in these ways by his Holy Spirit. Now, the point that I'm trying to emphasize for all of you is the reality is that we are connected to Christ, and as we are connected, so we bear fruits. That is, we are guided by the Holy Spirit in ways that he leads us. I want to share one more passage with you from John, and this is from John 14, just before John 15. Jesus is talking with disciples just before he says, I am the true vine, remain in me. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And as I read that, I don't remember if it was a sermon recently, but as we think about what it means to do something in Jesus' name, we're not just saying, okay, at the end of my prayer, I tack on, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, and now it's going to happen. But rather, the idea here is that you're doing it in accordance with Jesus' will. I talked about, with regard to the second commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. How at a bygone era, you would have a representative of the king who comes and says, I come in the name of the king. And as long as that individual says and does what the king himself would say and do, he is in fact living out in the name of the king. And in the same way as we pray and ask God for things that are in accordance with Jesus' will, we are living out in the name of Jesus. And so the point that I'm trying to emphasize here for us this day is the reality is that I think sometimes when it comes to God leading us, we think too small. We think too small of ourselves. We think honestly too small of our God. We know with confidence greatly of God's grace, of what he has done, that he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins and we are reconciled to him. And we know that when we die, we're going to be with Jesus. And that's a wondrous thing. That is a very, very important thing to know. But I think sometimes we limit ourselves to think, that's all that the Holy Spirit wants us to know and to do. And yet God calls us to something more as followers of Jesus. He says, I want you to remain in me that you would bear fruit. And my Father, who is the vine dresser, those who bear fruit, he prunes. And while none of us would want to sign up for the times of pruning, none of us want to say, yes, let me experience the hardship and difficulties that make me recognize that I am dependent upon God. God does this, that we might bear more fruit, that we might follow where he leads us, and by him working through us, his will is done within the world. And it's a wondrous thing. So just to make one point once again, it's very important that we do the things that we stay connected to Christ, that we pray regularly, as was said, that we are in his word, that we are coming to worship. And at the same time, with regards to worship, sometimes we might be tempted to think, this is all that God requires of me. This is all that God has in store for me. But God created Sabbath as a rest. If you injure a muscle, it's very important to give it the rest that it needs. If you are finding yourself in the midst of life, tossed back and forth, and your faith is needing rest, please come and worship the King. Receive the Sabbath rest that is offered. But if the only expression of your faith is Sabbath rest, what happens to a muscle that is only rested? It atrophies. And so too, God designed us and our faith to do more than just rest, 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 rest. But rather, he has gifted us our faith that it might bear fruit, that he might work in and through us and around us, so that his will might be done in and through and around us, and that we might proclaim his glories to a world that otherwise does not know him. That the people who are lost, who are wandering around in darkness and have not seen the light of God, that they might see his glory, and that they might be connected to him where otherwise they weren't. So my encouragement to you this day is, first and foremost, remain in Christ and do that faithfully, because out of that flows the fruit. But also then ask God, okay, God, what fruit do you want me to bear? How is your Holy Spirit guiding me this day, this week, this month? That you might use me in accordance with your will in this world that so desperately needs to know you. Amen.
Bye. extent. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. No guilt denied, no feeling dead. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first try to final end, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of
my friends, let us continue our worship by confessing our faith using the words of the explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. Please stand as we confess. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In this same Christus, he calls it, there's enlightens and sanctifies all the Protestant church and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. All right. It is now time for our prayer and care part of the service. And so please be seated at this time. If you've been asked to come forward and pray, I ask you to do that at this time. Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay. Would you help us? And Denise, would you help us? That would be, very good. We're good to go. And what this is we know that there are a lot of prayers and needs in the congregation and that all of us are going through wonderful, joyful times and difficult times. And what we want to do is we want to give this as an opportunity for you to come forward and to be prayed for individually. And those of you who are sitting in the congregation waiting, we will be singing as well, so we'll be giving glory to God. But I also ask that you would, you won't know the reasons everybody comes forward, but it doesn't matter. You can pray for them anyway. So pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ during this time. If you wish to be prayed for, but you don't want to come in front of everybody, you can go to the prayer chapel, and one of our elders, Kevin Shagg, will be in there to pray with you as well. All right, let's pray.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. In glory in creation, now revealed.
All right, my friends, if there's anybody else that would like to have individual prayer, we always do have an usher in the prayer chapel after the service that is able to pray with you. And so you, please make use of that. And then there is Josh and I, and that kind of goes with our job too, is we pray with people. So you can ask us anytime, even if you just call us in the middle of the day and just say, hey, I need prayer. We do that, okay? So, but nevertheless, this prayer stuff is so unbelievably important, so unbelievably valuable, such a gift that we make light of, you know what I mean? That at any moment, you have a direct line to the creator of the universe, the one who cares for and protects everybody. It's kind of a big deal, right? So let us in that spirit continue our service by praying together. And we're going to be praying for at this time for a few people in particular. We're going to pray for Ron Schutte, Pastor Schutte. He is currently in the hospital with an infection, and so we want to be praying for him and his health. We want to be praying for Jim Moss, who is just having a lot of different health problems right now, and we want to be praying for him. And then we also want to pray for Paul Zeeble, who is in, what's it called again? Rehab. He is in rehab. All these medical terms, they just muddle my brain. Anyway, but nevertheless, he's in rehab right now, and he's struggling to get enough strength to be able to do the things that he wants to do. So we want to be praying for him as well. All right, let us stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are an amazing God, a God above all, a God who is who has all the strength, all the power, all the ability, all the wisdom, Lord, and you love us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be present in our lives, Lord. Help us through the difficult times. Lord, we pray especially for Jim Moss, Lord, who's having trouble breathing and just struggling with some weakness. I pray that you would continue to be with him, make him strong, be with his wife, Jean, and help them, Lord, as they struggle during this time. I pray that you would be with Paul Zeeble, Lord, who is also weak and having trouble getting up and walking. I pray that, Lord, that you would strengthen his legs and help him be able to get up and get out and do the things that that he wants to be able to do. And Lord, I do pray that you would be with Ron Schutte. Lord, such a man of God, Lord, a brother pastor who is experiencing some really bad health problems. Lord, I pray that you would give him healing from these infections that he is currently dealing with. And Lord, please be with his wife and give her strength in this time as well. Lord, we pray that you would continue to be with all of your people, this church, this collection of saints that you have gathered together here. Lord, I pray that you would guide us and lead us. Help us, Lord, to make decisions that will bring glory to you and will open opportunities, Lord, for more people to be rich in their faith and to more people even to be in faith. Lord, I pray that you would be with all those who work here, Lord, especially our teachers who are teaching these wonderful little children in our school. I pray that you would continue to be with them, bless them, give them words to speak at just the right time so that all these children may continue to grow in their knowledge of the world that you have created, but also, Lord, in their relationship with you. And Lord, I do pray that you would continue to bless us in our community, Lord, this town of Eureka, this wonderful place that you have placed us. I pray that you would continue to bless the leaders here as well. Let them make good decisions. Let the school board make decisions that will glorify you, Lord. Let all things bring praise and glory to you. Give us all wisdom as we move forward. All these things we pray in the name that you have given us, this name of Jesus above all names. And we pray the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you, this do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Try to rule the world you made. We know power is yours alone to give and take. A day will come when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that you are Lord, both now and forever. Day after day our God is reigning, he is never shaken. My hope is in the Lord. Time after time our God is faithful, trustworthy Savior. My hope is in the Lord.
Once again, our God has met us at this altar, and he has given to us his very body and blood, and through that body and blood, he has given us the strength and the forgiveness and this blessing, this time together with him, and this time together with all the saints of the church that we get to commune with, and not just the ones here, but all the saints that have ever been and ever will be. This is the first fruits, the appetizer to the heavenly banquet. What an incredible gift our God has given us today. And as we have been, as we've received this gift, and our God's promise is certain, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together.
I sing praise to the King of Kings.
All right, everybody, have a seat. And children, those who are going to Sunday school, if you guys want to run to the back and meet up with Lauren, she'll take you over to Sunday school and the rest of you. Here, I got one other announcement for today, and that's this. You guys have heard about the tornado that hit in, it's not Nebraska, it's Oklahoma?
Yeah.
And then where else?
Nebraska.
Yeah, Nebraska. There's like, it's like, there was a lot of storms, and my truck driving brother, he knows all the states. Anyway, but no, the thing is that I know that when these kind of things happen, we have this impulse because we're filled with Christian love and we love the people that we don't even know. We want to know what we can do to help them. And let me tell you what you can do to help them. There is an organization, part of our synod, part of our church body, that is called, Disaster Response, right? Lutheran Disaster Response. And they are an amazing bunch of people. And we can give to them all the time. You don't only have to give them when there's an emergency, because they will hold the money in until the next emergency, and they are extremely responsive. And the way they operate is they come to the place that has been hurt, and they go to the local church there, and they come to the pastor, and they say, "How can we help?" When we had our floods in 2015 and 2017, the guy he literally showed up here with a pickup truck full of pressure washers and sprayers and different kinds of equipment that we were going to need to go out and do the work that God gave us to do. And so, if you want to do that, if you're driven by God's love to help these people, you can go on the LCMS website, lcms.org. It's pretty easy to remember that one, and go to the emergency, the disaster response, and you can actually make contributions to them right there. All right, and so I just want to make that available to you. It's a major thing during these times when we hear of the floods and the hurricanes and the tornadoes and all that stuff. Right, all right. With that, then, God's blessings on your week. It's been wonderful worshiping with you again today. And we'll be in prayer. We do have three little babies getting baptized. Two are going to be in here. One's going to be in the prayer chapel. Baptisms have been coming fast and furious lately. My mom makes the banners, and she barely can keep up. She actually enlisted help. Somebody else, I think Lynn's helping cut letters now for her. So, yeah, it's pretty amazing what a blessing God has given us, this ministry. So God's blessings on your week. Hey, look at that, a bunch of letters.